Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we continue our post-election coverage. And once again, they have delayed Senator Kerry's statement to the nation. First, it was going to be 10 o'clock this morning, then 12, then 1 o'clock, and now we're told that it's going to be 2 o'clock. And there's a lot to talk about still between now and then, both on local and national results and what they mean. And my next guest with the erstwhile Kerry campaign is Newsweek correspondent Richard Wolff. He's in Boston right now. And Richard, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me back, Brian.
So what's going on with the Kerry campaign? First, what exactly is causing the delay? Any idea?
No, he is a perennially late campaigner and candidate, and I guess now just a senator again. But we are standing on the street outside his Beacon Hill home here. The campaign aides are milling around, consoling each other. But the only benefit is that it's a glorious blue sky day here.
Well, we're glad you're having fun. Let's go back to the question of why he would, or apparently now will not, fight the fight in Ohio. As of the middle of the night, when John Edwards came out and made a statement that they're committed to having every vote counted, it looked like there was going to be an attempt to count all these provisional ballots, and it's not been clear exactly how many of them there are in Ohio, to see if that would make up the difference between Bush's and Kerry's count so far. What changed their mind?
I'm told it was a mathematical decision. This came down to the numbers. You know, Kerry has long taken an approach, maybe because he was a prosecutor, maybe that's just the way he thinks, to really sort of build a case, look at the facts, and work his way from there. And the facts on the ground just weren't in their favor. And, you know, while there were some people there who were determined not to repeat the mistakes of Al Gore by conceding early, there was also a very somber and realistic mood among the aides that I spoke to, that 100,000-plus votes gap between them and Bush in Ohio was just too big to make up.
Let's move on to some of the other issues, and we can take phone calls from our listeners, 212-267-WNYC, or email to Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. And here's an email that says, I am a 21-year-old mother of two children living in Manhattan. I think it's absolutely shameful that young people turned out in such low numbers yesterday. I waited in line for an hour with my 4-year-old daughter in my arms to make sure I cast my vote. I believe that there will be many problems to come in the world with Bush in the White House for another 4 years. So, Richard, her politics aside, we kept expecting the possibility, at least, of this surge in young voters. And there were all kinds of things that seemed to forecast it, from, you know, turnout to the Springsteen, not that his core constituents are necessarily so young, but Springsteen-Kerry rally to the Eminem video that was spreading like wildfire on the web, a get-out-the-vote video in the last few days, to the Daily Show's popularity and all kinds of other things. But in the end, 18 to 24-year-olds, 18 to 30-year-olds didn't vote in any greater proportion than they ever had. Any opinion about that?
Yeah, they were just part of the disappointing story. I don't want to pin the blame for all of this on young folks, because really the Democratic turnout was stable across the board. In that sense, it was a disappointment across the board, because they were hoping for bigger numbers on all their core groups, not just young people. You know, the real problem is the Democratic vote was pretty much where it was at before, whereas there was this new surge, this big block that turned out of evangelical voters, and that those are the people who name moral values as the most important issue in this election, and John Kerry couldn't even speak to these people.
What about all those angry Democrats that we've heard about for the last 4 years, who felt disenfranchised, in some cases personally, in some cases on, you know, in a larger sense by the events of 2000, who seemed so mobilized? We certainly saw it here in New York, where turnout among Democrats was astronomical because of their anger at George Bush. What happened to those people?
Well, I suspect, I mean, we're going to have to obviously do, there's going to be a whole industry of, cottage industry of postmortems here, but I suspect that the passion was really among the people who are going to vote anyway. What you were looking for was new voters, and really the critical question here
But we did see something like, if I can jump in, a jump from 106 million voters total in 2000 to, I haven't seen the final number, but it's something around 120 million voters yesterday, or by yesterday, which is unbelievable.
You know, that is a big increase, and that does reflect the passions on both sides. But the Republicans had this 3-4 million advantage, and many of those were people who were no-shows last time. They were mobilized effectively. The big question for Democrats is how they spent $200 million on the ground game, on organization, and it was an organization that really didn't get them any advantage at all.
Let's take another phone call. Jeremy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Hi. Well, there's like so many different things to hit on here, but to start with, this if Kerry is really giving up on these on this recount thing, it's, you know, one like final tragic example of him flip-flopping, because they just said last night they wouldn't do that. And I think that's an awful way to go out. But I think, you know, from a moral standpoint, when you've got people spending 10 hours on a line to vote, and these are people with full bladders and kids at home, old people with bad knees and all this stuff, I mean, you can't spend 10 hours on a line, which, as far as I'm concerned, is disenfranchisement, and have the potential that all these machines weren't taking votes correctly, and that hanging chads were like all over the place in Ohio. I mean, there's a million ways that this thing could have been thrown. And for him to just give up, I mean, the least he could have done is waited 10 hours the way those voters did. And it seems to me that, it might not have changed the outcome, but he could have very easily made a statement. Edwards could have made it last night to say, you know, this may not change the outcome, but they've had 4 years to change this voting system. They didn't do it. It's their fault that I'm not going to concede. I'm going to wait till this thing gets counted. And if you don't want this to happen, you know, in the next 4 years, mm-hmm. you got to change the system.
It's an interesting point, Jeremy, and I wonder if Jeremy reflects an anger that we'll be hearing more of among the Democratic Party rank and file, Richard Wolff, in coming days and weeks, over the fact that they did not pursue it, at least to getting a count on the provisional ballots and seeing where it wound up, or anything related to that. I got another email earlier this morning from a New Yorker who said she was already involved in organizing buses to go to Ohio to help support the recount and provisional ballot count battle. So I don't know. Do you think that Kerry's decision today, that we're expecting now at 2 o'clock, is going to leave many Democrats disaffected?
Yeah, I imagine it will, and I can understand the strength of feeling and the disappointment. But there'll be a certain amount of shooting the messenger there. When you look at the overall picture, Kerry, when they were doing the math, believed that they could. Reasonably, the best I could reasonably expect from the provisional ballots was that 80% of them, or 90% of the push, would get accepted. And of those 80 to 90%, maybe 80 to 90% would be Democratic. But those were the best assumptions. And 90% of the 90% of the few that, of the numbers that were there was not enough to push him anywhere near the top. In Florida, when you think back, the gap was less than 1,000 votes. Obviously, in the end, it came down to 500 or so votes. You're talking about 130,000, 40,000 votes to overcome. And Kerry's feeling in the end was that he did not want to be the person to contribute any more to the country's divisions. I think you have to kind of respect that in the end.
You've been covering the Kerry campaign for some time. Is there a lot of second-guessing around him among campaign aides this morning?
Not this morning. There has been throughout, though. This has been a campaign that has taken second-guessing to a new height, in contrast to the Bush campaign, which stuck to one message and was very disciplined, very little infighting. except actually in the last week or so when it looked like they were going to lose at various points. So not this morning. There's a lot of tears, a lot of disappointment, and a lot of people wondering where this leaves their future and the future of the Democrats in general.
And Richard, I'm sorry, getting a message. Are we supposed to take a break now? All right. So, Richard Wolf, one other thing from the exit polls. There does seem, well, no, forget about the exit polls. Let me ask you if you think there were any lessons well learned or not well learned from 2000 with respect to how the voting went. I guess there won't be lawsuits at this point. There was high turnout. There was the change in the federal law that created the provisional ballots in their current form. There were all kinds of fears of voter fraud on the one side and voter intimidation or suppression on the other side. How'd it go?
A huge number of lessons still to be learned from 2000, just on the voting side. One is that there just isn't enough money in terms of funding enough election officials, enough polling places, enough counting machines. People should not have to wait 10 hours to vote, not in the United States of America. So, you know, there's a fundamental problem there that the system was swamped. And people have to look at those budgets again and say, you know, is this really the best way to enact democracy? That's the first step. The second thing is that when it comes to tabulating these results, there is still a big problem in terms of the delivery, the rapid delivery of reliable numbers. When you have the Secretary of State of Ohio saying it could take 2 days, 2 weeks, or 2 months to count these votes, that's really unacceptable. That kind of confusion really undermines confidence in the final results. So, you know, those are really two big things there.
Richard Wolf, Newsweek correspondent with the Kerry campaign. We're expecting the Kerry concession at 2 o'clock now. Richard, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. When we come back, we'll talk about the problems, apparent problems, with the exit polls yesterday that led certainly people in the journalism establishment and the campaigns to think one thing was going to happen when another thing entirely turned out to be the case. Stay with us.